Hey, Peter.
Hello, Brian.
You know, our listeners really liked our interview with Wes.
You mean part one of two?
Well, in fact, this show is going to be part two. We're going to have the rest of that interview, which I actually think is a little funnier and a little more insightful than part one.
You know, I was thinking about our audience over the weekend.
And, oh, Mom.
Right? What I love most
and your mom.
About our listenership
yep.
is how intimate it is.
Well, I mean, some shows, most of them live in our our own homes, houses.
In our homes or adjacent homes. Yeah, I find that some podcasts, they do a whole thing where they try to reach a really broad audience in
right.
thousands or hundreds of thousands.
Well, who would want that?
And
we are a family
that?
Here.
I like being just super, super niche.
Yeah.
I love that about us.
If you've met us, if you've worked up with us for the last 10 or 15 years, maybe we've attended a wedding together, then you're part
then
of
you're,
the
you might be listening.
HWYRT family.
I bet there's a whole slew of people who are just like, listen once and like, I'm good.
Listen to that first episode. It's like, what'd they do? Record this on their laptop with no mics?
Yeah, use microphones.
Actually, that is what we did.
We did. And if they would just stick it out to episode two or three, they'd be so much happier. But so here we are, episode 16 of How Was Your Run Today?
It is. I've got something, Peter, for you. A listener, Michelle, sent us a funny little thing from BuzzFeed, and I'm going to describe this to you. It's one of those, what do they call them, listicles?
I don't know what that is.
Right, an article written as a list to get some clickbait, I think they call it. It's all about running, and I love it. They're pie charts. Okay, but very, very simple pie charts. So here's the first one.
Okay.
All right, number one, things to take into account when scheduling a run.
Okay, it's good.
25%, is it raining?
Okay.
25%, is it dark out?
Yeah, that's true.
50%. Have you pooped?
that's for me. That's like 75%.
What's great is we didn't write that. This came from the internet.
That's
so
right in our wheelhouse. Though.
Not only is it true, we're not to blame. Reasons you love to run. 25% alone time.
That's big for me.
That's huge for you.
Big
I
for
know.
Me. Big for me.
25% stress management. That's for me, baby.
Yeah,
I'm a different person when I'm running every day.
No joke.
Yeah, no joke. 50% bagels.
I could see that.
Every day. Bagels.
I do not eat a bagel every day.
And neither do I.
That's
but
a myth.
I like to. Number three, how do you feel on rest days? 10% relaxed and rejuvenated. 90% restless and irritable.
Yeah, it tends to be more the latter than the former.
It really
although,
is.
So how many more of those do you have? Because I have
just
some
a couple.
So we can't put a pin in that one? Come back to it? No. Just remind me of rest days.
Okay.
Remind me of rest days.
All right. Number four. How much do you want to go for a run? This is every day. How much do you want to go for a run? We're split 50-50. So much, 50%. The other 50%, literally not at all.
Never again.
Especially if you're one of those crazy people that wakes up at 5:30 in the morning and goes for a run. I don't even know how you can do that on a regular basis.
I used to do that.
Okay. This way, I don't think we have to define this term, but it may be a new one to some people.
All right.
What runners think about snot rockets?
I have some thoughts on that.
Okay, 50% or 100% is ew, gross. The other 100% extremely useful.
I'm a big convert to this.
You have to do it.
It's something I used to live in New York City, and I'd watch old men in the sidewalk blow one, and I'd say, "That's
you bring
I'm
me
never
right
gonna,
back to my childhood.
I'm never going to be that person." But right. I've decided that I absolutely am that person, and I do it all the time.
Right.
And I don't necessarily have to be running now. That's the problem.
You mean if you're not wearing spandex, you're still doing it?
I'm saying it's preferable outside.
Yeah,
but. When it needs to happen.
Hey, keep that conference table clean, will you, Peter?
Hand me those wipes. Hand me that anti.
Are we coming back to the spittoon, the snot rocket urn?
I think the millennials are bringing back spittoons.
Yeah, along with monocles and typewriters.
I need a spittoon for my vaping. I need a spittoon. What would that look like?
I don't know, but it would have to be solar powered.
Solar powered, very, yeah. LEED certified spittoon.
That's right. All right, we have two more of these, Peter.
Wow, this is really a lot.
I love it. I love it.
It's like a chunk. We're doing a chunk right
now. It's a pie chart of your laundry.
Oh, that's good.
10% everyday clothes. 90% running clothes.
Oh, there's nothing
especially in the winter, man.
There's nothing but stuff on the drying rack.
If you go for anything over five, you've blown through those. I mean, even jackets, sweatshirts, hats, gloves, everything's got to get washed.
I think we said this when we were doing the marathon training where you're doing multiple huge runs a week. You are either in the shower or you're doing laundry or both.
Or running.
Yeah, or you're out running. So it's somewhere moisture's right. happening somehow.
Right, right. That's right.
Last one or that was it?
No, last one. This is a three pie charts, okay? And you know how they come together to create one perfect center? Is that the Venn diagram?
It is the Venn.
All right, here are the three factors that create a perfect run. Get sneakers it. Tied just right.
True.
60 degrees and breezy. Although I may argue 45 degrees.
I would say 52.
But I'm a sweater. Right. And then a flawlessly timed playlist, which would be great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
However, I can't say I totally agree with this one because sometimes I love music. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. But a lot of times I run with nothing.
I do a lot of all three of those things.
Yeah.
A podcast, music, nothing.
So maybe we'll ask our listeners to give us their Venn diagram of a perfect run.
Yeah.
We'll share ours.
What are the ingredients for you for a perfect run? Speaking of perfect runs.
Yeah.
So as you know, this past weekend we had yet another snowstorm in this area.
We did.
I did it. I went out there, man, both days, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, I went Sunday after it had snowed, but it was
gorgeous. Well, you were smart because Saturday was still kind of icy, treacherous.
Horrible. All I could see was my knees breaking and falling on the ground and shattering an elbow.
And I only got a nice four in, but it was beautiful, sunny, and I was happy to do it.
Yeah.
And then I went for another 3.5 and change on Sunday, which was even more beautiful and
Sunday
less dangerous.
Yeah.
But this is what I wanted to say about the rest day. So then yesterday was a rest day.
It was for me as well.
And I, as much as they make me edgy.
And irritable.
Boy, my body definitely says, hey, careful your ankle. Hey, careful your knee.
Right.
Chill it out.
You're feeling a little tweaky. Why don't you take a day off?
Yeah. It's that metal coat hanger when you bend it 9 or 10 times in the wrong direction. Yeah. When my knee starts to feel like that.
Right.
That's what a rest day's for. That's what I feel. Anyway.
But the good thing is, if you're doing it right and you are listening to your body, as we learned from Wes.
Total random training.
Total random training. And sometimes the random training includes a rest day. And if you are being intuitive, you are listening, you know, okay, it's all right. If I rest today, I'm going to come back and double it up tomorrow.
You know, I was also thinking about my girth, my size, my shape.
I didn't mention it.
No, I did in the first half of the interview. I talked about. Well, you did use the word Clydesdale. You threw that out very liberally, very fast.
Well, you were wearing a Clydesdale shirt.
It's true. And my
and your tattoo that says I'm a Clyde.
Proud to be a Clydesdale.
Clyde Army.
Yeah. Don't joke.
Clyde Army.
Clyde Army, and I'm proud of it. But I read an article in the Washington Post, I think it was. It was about losing weight, especially as you get a little bit older. And we're really stuck in a culture right now where it says that exercise is everything.
Yeah.
And it's really not everything. Exercise is very, very important. We all know that.
Essential.
But particularly as you hit our middle age range,
yeah,
it's really about calories and eating less. And
you're breaking my heart, buddy.
I know, but the trick is to not get caught in the, I'm working out so much
right.
that the bagels are okay. Well, no, right. like not really. You should actually be bringing the numbers down.
Or at least staying even. But
this article even mentioned saying even is hard because
it is.
Your body, as the more you work out and the more energetic you are and out there, your body becomes that much more efficient.
Of course.
So it doesn't know to burn or break down.
Yeah, I would say it's probably, if you're training well, and not being injured, it's probably like every 4 to 6 weeks even your body like hits a new threshold of efficiency.
Yeah.
And if you were eating, say, 2,700 calories mm-hmm. a day, suddenly to do the same whatever mileage you were doing or workouts you were doing, you only need 2,600 or, you know, whatever the math is, but you do have to continue to decrease. It's scary.
I am tracking. I'm double downing on the tracking for 2016 on the loseit.com.
Okay.
And up until this week, I had a nice cushion of like 2,000 to 2,100 calories a day.
That's low, man.
But then I lost a pound. Go with me on this
Hello.
Week.
Yeah.
Now it wants me to be at 1,900. And this is the problem with loseit.com.
That's what a five-year-old eats.
So not trying to be a pitchman for loseit.com, but
You did lose a pound, and so it works.
But now the numbers are coming down.
Speaking of a guy who doesn't need to lose any weight.
That Wesley Fenimore.
Let's jump back to Matilda's.
He's in good shape. How about some, would we have any of that traveling music from Jeff?
We do.
Hit it.
Living in Boston, it's sort of a unique experience. You know, there's obviously other marathons in other places, but the fact that you can go to Com Ave on any Saturday morning between January and March and know that there's going to be hundreds of people running there is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it is. When I used to run the Boston Marathon, I also worked at a restaurant that was right on the course, or just off of the course.
Oh, great.
And so I lived in the South End at the time, and I'd get out of work and I'd run home down the Boston Marathon course.
That's okay, awesome. So now hold on. The first story I heard when we were talking about running, Wes, from you, was this. We were talking about the Boston Marathon, and you talked about how you used to bandit the marathon, but in an unusual way. Can you explain? Yeah,
give it to us exactly
where
you
began the race and how you ran it on those days.
All right. I've actually run the Boston Marathon itself four times, two times officially.
Right.
But once I ran as a bandit to support a friend of mine.
Nice.
But while I was training for my longer runs, I worked it into a back-to-back training weekend. And there is a race, and it's still run. It's called the DRB 50K. It's Don't Run Boston. Trail runners don't run Boston 50K. They run that on the Sunday before.
Okay. I love it.
So I ran that race on Sunday. It's a 50K race held in the Blue Hills.
Okay.
And marathon Monday morning, I got up. I ran over to the race start.
Right.
And started out at 7 in the
morning.
No,
you ran to the race finish.
Race finish, yes. I ran
Boston
to the race
Public Library.
Finish at the
Copley
Boston
Square,
Public
right.
Library at the Copley Square.
At 7 in the morning.
At 7 in the morning. Turned around, ran to the start.
In Hopkinton.
Got there at 11 o'clock. I had about 45 minutes to wait.
When the gun goes off.
And turned around and then ran that. And that was actually an official run the way back.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you had a bib for that run.
I had a bib for that, yes.
Wow.
Get out of here.
And that was in 2 days, you ran
50K on Sunday and a double marathon on Monday.
Well, that's a normal long weekend for anybody.
But it was a training. It was a training.
That was only a training.
It was a training.
That would be the culmination of my physical life. That would be. That's probably more output than I put out in 6 months.
He must have told us that story like close to 6 months ago, 9 months ago. I think this is the reason why we're having a podcast. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
That story.
I still don't believe it.
Well, that was a month before running my first 100-miler.
So you needed to get the miles.
I needed to get the long run in, right. And my intention to run the 50K and then run the marathon. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was like, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah.
And so I did.
I wouldn't even put those miles on my car. I'd rest my car. I'd be like, geez, I don't want to stress the engine. You said when you do treadmill work, always music.
Always music.
But when you actually hit the trails and do these races, what do you use?
You know, the really cool thing about trail races, most of them ban headphones or music.
Okay. Because
they're really not safe while you're
out on the trail. No, exactly, yeah.
You need to hear what's going on around you.
Sure.
I mean, you can get away with headphones on city streets and stuff because everybody's used to them. Everybody's doing it. Most trail races do frown upon wearing them.
And what's that transition for you, or is that just part of the race day thing?
It is part of the race day thing. I mean, I'm a gabber, and that's the great thing about trail races. People talk.
Yeah.
And you can run 5 miles along with somebody, and you're just...
Yakking it up.
Yeah. And then you hit an aid station, and you go on, and you meet up with somebody else, and you hear stories, and you bond with people, and you actually make really nice long-term connections.
Incredible.
Whereas... I don't know, these road races, I've never found that type of camaraderie.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to come back to the back of the pack where
we
go much slower, we breathe a lot easier.
I bring a keg. And
he's got a hand truck with a keg on it.
I have a boombox strapped to my chest. I'm just playing music.
The awesome thing is about with these long races, Have you ever heard of Gilly's Running Club? They're just a group of the back of pack guys. Mm. They take the running seriously, mm-hmm. but they take it so seriously that they show up the night before the races. They set up their RVs and their camper, and they're up all night long drinking and having a good time. And they quiet down around 3 a.m. and they're up by 7 and they're toeing the line. Hungover, but...
Well, nothing gets rid of a hangover like, you know, 50-mile run.
They're incredible. They're incredible.
It is a way to detoxify the body. It's all going to come out.
That's right.
So do you find that on the ultras, it's an older crowd because they're more body conscious and more thinking longer term?
Used to be that way.
But now it's crazy. Well, the whole sport's exploded, right?
It has. I mean, when I was running races, and I actually won one of those races.
Oh, congratulations. Okay. Wow. That's great.
I mean, that was many, many years ago. But the times that you see now...
It's crazy.
It is crazy. Yeah. They're running 100-mile races in like 11 hours, 12 hours.
That's unbelievable.
Frequently. I mean,
oh my gosh.
That's nothing that I would ever even dream of being able to accomplish. Yeah. Now, you're talking somebody who's doing that is running flat out from the time they start to the time they finish, just grabbing aid stations. Right. Yeah. Just like,
treating it like a long, 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 long marathon.
We look at people who run marathons going all out, you know, the elites or even not even the elites, just people, anybody who qualifies for Boston is doing that.
Right.
You know, it's a sprint for 2 hours.
I can't imagine it.
I can't either.
It's just a different way of being. But if your body is, I mean, I guess it's all in perspective.
And when I was running, the elite runners were usually 35 to 40 years old, and they had been elite marathoners who
10 years
just
before.
Felt that they couldn't be competitive at the marathon level anymore, that just moved up. But now you're getting the younger runners that come in, you know, 26 to 35 that can...
Forget it, yeah.
But I have a question for you guys.
All right.
Who do you run with?
That's a great question. No, that's a good question.
That is a good question. I don't run with anybody because it's difficult to coordinate, and frankly I've always been intimidated by running clubs or anything like that because people run a lot faster than I am. People for whatever reason assume that I'm fast, and I'm not that fast.
And I find for myself the thing I like about running the most is the solitary aspect of it, and I don't have to talk. It's like one of the few times where I'm not talking.
Oh, that's funny. I love running with somebody else, but it's I can't always do it. How about you?
One of the keys training for the long runs for me was group running.
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
We would all meet, 8 to 10 of us would all meet on like a Saturday morning for a 6-hour run.
Wow.
And that's very motivating because even when you're tired, like at the time I worked nights, all right? So I'd work till 1 or 2 in the morning and they'd always meet at 6 or 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
If I had one person that I had to meet at 6 or 7 in the morning, chances are I would like blow them off.
Right.
Yeah. Like, sorry, I'm not doing it.
But you have a whole group.
But you got a whole group of 12 people who are all going out. It's like,
I'm getting
4 hours of sleep tonight and I know what I'm doing.
Right.
Because they won't let you hear the end of it.
They hold you accountable. Yeah, sure. Because we're all kind of got the same type of goals together.
Do you have a group you run with now?
I don't, but I need one.
Do you have a last question? Or reflection, Wes?
How can I get in? Isn't that what you want to ask?
I would not be against the notion. I'll say this about that, because I see the gleam in your eye there. The little, I would think that when I hit 50 years old, I would want to challenge myself in a completely different way than what I did this past year or any coming years when I may try another big race. But this definitely strikes me as something I would want to see if it's possible. So I'm not totally against the idea of it.
Well, why I ask you that is because I remember you saying to me maybe less than a month ago how you know you're never going to get any faster.
Oh, I know I'm not.
So it's
not really going to be shaving time. I mean, I can have an occasional...
I think you probably could.
No, I've done a thing very much since the last half, which we ran in October, where I've gone on runs, and we're not talking long distances. We're talking under 10s. But my back miles are always negative splits. Always, 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 always. I love it. That's me. I like it. It's what I can do. So that's encouraging. But I can't imagine in 100 miles, you think oh, this back 50, I'm going to just really hit it up a notch.
Crank it.
Yeah.
But this is the only thought I would be having during a 100-mile race. Oh, the sun is going down again. That would be my only thought.
I would also be thinking, like, even if I only spent half the time actually conversing with another human, it's like, I just talked to someone for 50 miles. Half time. So I don't know how you do it. Oh, hats off to you. I think it's amazing. And the fact that you can do all those things and still run a very successful business, which we'll plug on our website. Do you want to name a sandwich after our show or anything? How was your run today, Hero?
How was your run today, Reuben?
Would it be a Reuben?
I would think so.
How was your Reuben today? Right? Well, Wes, we're going to get you a shirt. A little How Was Your Run Today t-shirt.
I can't wait. Do I get to pick my own color?
No, we have to make them first.
Yes.
We have the design.
Do you have a design?
We have the design. It's ready to go. And we're any minute there.
Did your social media guru take care of that design?
No. I think someone's...
Our designer.
You have a designer? Well, yeah. You guys are big time.
Yeah. We haven't...
Well, I'm married to her.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. Thank you so much for letting us come into your place of business on off hours and find out more about the amazing world of ultra... Do they call them ultra races or ultra marathons? What are they called?
Ultra runs.
Ultra
trail runs.
Not that you need to be locked into it because you're in a recording medium where this will be out in the ether, but...
And everyone will be holding you to it.
Well, when's the actual race for you?
The one that I am targeting is over Labor Day weekend. It's in the Halliburton Forest in Canada.
All right. Okay.
The end of the summer.
This is exciting.
Great.
It is exciting.
I'd like to think of it as the tentpole of now our year, because we'll be tracking that.
That's right.
This is very exciting.
See, now you're holding my feet to the fire.
I'm sorry, but that's partially
that's
why
part
we're
of
here.
Our job.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
That'll get me to the start line.
Thank you, Wesley.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good run.
Have a good 2.5 day run. Okay, so that was lovely. That was lovely.
Great sandwich.
And a huge thank you to Wes. I want to just say a couple things for the record. I didn't say, because you're looking at me crazy, I didn't say I'm going to do that ever.
You when pretty I much 50. Did.
I'm saying that if I were going to do
Everyone
it.
Everyone just heard you say that by the time you turn 50, you're going to challenge yourself in a new way, and that would be a 100-mile trail run with Wes.
I said I think I could see that as a possibility, so let's all just back up on what Pete... Pick up the cones, Pete's going to do.
Pick up the cones, Pete. I've already ordered the shirts that say Pete's running 100 miles in one race.
We'll see. Maybe in 5 years when we have 1,000 listeners. Yes, maybe. Maybe. And when I'm sponsored.
By lucid.com.
By Depends. Which is what I'll need in order to do an 100-mile race.
No, you heard the aid stations are real. You can use the facilities. You can even take a nap in a sleeping bag, have some soup, get a massage. That kind of sounds like a spa weekend to me.
Bad.
With that, you know, without all the running for hours on end, it sounds nice.
No, honestly, the actual event, as hard as that would be for 2 days, the training sounds crazy. He's on that treadmill nonstop, man.
He's on the treadmill all weekend, and he ran... 3 marathons on the course of a long weekend, 2 of them in 1 day.
And he is on his feet all day. I mean, when we go in, and if you're in the Watertown area, stop into Matilda's. A beautiful restaurant, great for sandwiches. Get the potato salad.
They don't always
have it.
But when they do.
But he's on his feet all day, so I just don't know what he's doing. I don't know how he squeezes it in with the training.
I don't know. Well, he must run in the morning. I think he runs in the morning and the night. Or he's at the gym.
Or he does a double dose.
Remember, he's
something.
Not going outside.
Right, that's right.
So he's hitting the machines
and that's a change.
In
that's
the morning
different.
And the evening, and then he does that long run on the weekends. It's still crazy.
It's still crazy. But thank you so much, Wes.
I just want to say, so he ran 3 marathons in 1 long weekend.
Oh, yeah.
He told us a story of the running club that drinks beer deep into the night before towing the line for 50-milers and 100-milers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's crazy. And you and Wes are on the docket to run 100-miler soon.
Oh, not really, no.
All right, well, Wes is going to run one over Labor Day weekend, and
crazy.
We'll keep you up to date with how that's going. We'll check in with Wes from time to time how the training's going.
Yes.
And then when it comes to the big race, we'll give you as much information as we have. It's exciting for me. I don't know anybody who's run 100 miles.
We're going to need photos. We're going to need live updates. Maybe we'll get a drone. How about a How Is Your Run Today drone?
I've already ordered it from Amazon.
Excellent. How are the shirts coming, Brian?
The shirts?
What?
Are being manufactured.
Right this minute.
Right this minute.
Well, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the truth.
I can't believe you had an answer there for me. That's great.
I can't believe I did either.
Wow. Wow, this was great.
Hey, this has been episode 16 of How Is Your Run Today with Peter Villa and Brian Gould with special guests
Wesley Finnamore.
Thanks, Wes. Music by Jeff Cronenberg. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Listeners, please contribute to the show with your questions and comments. For email and social media, go to our website, howisyourruntoday.com. Sign up and get this podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud, and please give us a rating and a comment while you're there. Every single one of those makes a difference in how this little here show is ranked. And if you love HWYRT, please share our posts on Facebook and retweet us. It's free and doesn't require stretching afterward. Hey, Peter.
Hello there.
Have a good run today.
You as well.
Let's do it.
I enjoy that. So thank you so much for letting us be here and nibble your ear on, well, that's not right.